This is Central Time. I'm Veronica Ricker.
And I'm Rob Ferret.
With Christmas right around the corner, a lot of people are talking about the North Pole, where Santa Claus lives. But do you know there are four North Poles?
Not just one, but four.
There are four.
Well, our science high priestess, Gemma Tarlac, is here to school us on some scientific facts and some pop culture facts along the way about the North Pole. She's a senior associate editor at Discover Magazine based in Waukesha. Gemma, welcome back.
Hello. Happy holidays and merry everything to you both.
Well, to you too. So what's the deal? Four North Poles?
Actually, I have an update where there are five North Poles.
What?
We had a reader tell us there's actually a North Pole, New York, in some, I don't know, podunk county. I shouldn't say podunk on air, right?
That's New York.
Right, exactly. They're not listening. Yeah. So, yeah, there are actually four North Poles. The first, the terrestrial North Pole, is probably what most of us think of immediately. It's this fixed geographic point. And
so that's the one that's at the top of our globe.
Yeah, if you think of Earth as a spinning top, it's the top of the spinning top. And, you know, there's a bottom of the spinning top, and that would be the terrestrial South Pole. So they match up. Then the other, there's another one called the North Dip Pole. That's my personal favorite because I like the word dip. I think it's very funny. So the North Dip Pole is basically, if you think of the Earth's geomagnetic field kind of laying over the Earth like the skin on an orange, well, that's okay. But at the poles, at the dip poles, the field actually dips down and is perpendicular to the Earth's surface. So that's why this is particularly called the North Dip Pole. Now, there is a South Dip Pole, too, but they are not diametrically opposed. Huh. And in fact, there are like 20 degrees latitude difference between them right now, which to me is crazy. They
don't approve
line up
of that.
At all.
Yeah.
They don't line up at all, and they move around. How crazy is that? So they're not fixed.
So how do they end up moving? How does that happen?
Well, you know, as our Earth is spinning through this wonderful solar system that we have, there are shifts, there are changes, there are always kind of tweaks to the geomagnetic field and how it's running and how it's laid out. So it's always moving around, and that's actually one of the more dramatic ways that you can say that, that we have evidence that it's moving around like that.
What is, if I hold a compass, what's it pointing at?
Oh, okay, a compass. Totally different there. All right. Well, where are you holding the compass? Let's start there.
In Madison, Wisconsin, let's say.
Okay. All right. Well, it is actually the what's also the north the magnetic North Pole, which is also the North Dip Pole. Now that gets a little confusing because there's also the geomagnetic North Pole, and that's not where your compass points. So your compass points to the North Dip Pole, also known as the magnetic North Pole. But there's the geomagnetic North Pole, which is totally different.
I'm starting to get lost in all these North Poles.
Yeah.
What if we're near one of those North Poles, say the dip pole or the geomagnetic? What does our compass do then?
Well, if you're actually standing right at the magnetic North Pole, I hope you're wearing a sweater because it's going to be cold, and I hope you have really good footwear with like crampons and stuff because you're going to be standing actually on sea ice. But in any case, if you're standing right there, your compass could do a few different things. If you're standing at the magnetic North Pole with your compass horizontal, the needle will spin really slowly until it kind of runs out of gas, so to speak. Or it'll point to anything magnetic that you happen to be wearing, which can be really confusing if you know you're an Arctic explorer. Or it'll just point to the same spot as the last time you used it. In other words, at the magnetic North Pole, your compass just gets freaked out and says, I'm out of here.
And so your last North Pole, and now two, are just our postal addresses, right?
Well, the geomagnetic pole is different than the magnetic North Pole, and that's actually where the auroras occur in an oval around it, and that is something that we can't really measure in actuality. It has to be modeled using mathematical equations that, if you're confused now, you do not want me to get into these equations. Trust me, it's going to make your brain explode. Very messy.
I always thought it was just the solar storm, solar flares that caused the northern lights, but I guess there's got to be a lot more to it than that. So what is it about the North Pole that brings about these arrays of northern lights?
Well, it's the way they are arranged around the geomagnetic field of the Earth, and specifically the geomagnetic North Pole for the aurora borealis. And of course, down south, we have the aurora australis, which goes around geomagnetic South Pole. I have to be really careful because now there's so many North Poles. I have to make sure I'm saying the right one every time. But hey, let's talk about the other North Pole, North Pole, Alaska. There you go. Cute little town incorporated in the 50s. No physics involved whatsoever in understanding it. It's just a cute little town that makes a lot of money off tourism.
Well, moving to pop culture, no physics involved here. The connection between Superman and the North Pole.
Yes, well, I think almost everybody knows that Superman, when he needs to chillax, he goes to his Fortress of Solitude, which is located on or near the terrestrial North Pole. Well, I was talking to my editor about the story, and he said, well, what about Doc Savage? And I said, well, what about Doc Savage? My editor's a huge fan of Pulp Fiction and graphic novels and comics. And apparently, in the 30s, there was this scientist with superhero powers called Doc Savage, Man of Bronze. And he hung out in an Arctic retreat called the Fortress of Solitude. And I was like, wait a minute, so he was hanging out with Superman? Is there something I need to know? And it turns out that the guys who created Superman, Jerry Siegel and Joe Shuster, they were huge fans of the Doc Savage Pulp Fiction series, and they kind of borrowed a fact here and there. So they basically, like, cribbed Doc Savage's crib, so to speak, and made it Superman's.
And do you know what's there besides this little town? Is there anything you can see if you go there?
To the Fortress of Solitude?
Well, to the North Pole in Alaska. It's a tourist town, you said.
Oh, okay. Yeah, yes. Okay, so the North Pole, Alaska town, that's actually, it's just a town outside Fairbanks. It is nowhere near, quite frankly, any of the other North Poles. They just, you know, it was up north and it was snowy, and they're like, hey, let's call this place North Pole, and then people can, like, come and visit and say they've been to the North Pole, which is not technically true, but, you know, they make a lot of money off tourism.
There's a similar thing growing up in Michigan. Everybody could go and drive through hell, Michigan. But you didn't, it wasn't like experiencing the real thing, happily. Well, some controversy over who got to the North Pole first, and I guess which North Pole they got to first. So who did it? Who was the first explorer to actually make it to the darn North Pole?
All right, I'm not going to weigh in on who made it to the terrestrial North Pole first, because a lot of people feel really passionately about this. But I will say that Robert Perry said, hey, I made it there in 1909 by dog sled. And after he said that, this other guy, this physician named Frederick Cook, said, oh, yeah, well, I made it there in 1908. What are you going to say about that, big guy? And so they kind of argued about it, and there was this huge controversy, which still rages today. But quite frankly, Perry had, you know, the better PR machine, and he basically, you know, he's acknowledged as the guy who probably got there first. But we're really not sure, which is kind of intriguing, you know. And you have people, like, combing through all the photo archives and everything, looking at, well, the, you know, the shadow from the sun on the sea ice was there and whatever. But we really can't definitively say who got there first.
Well, digging in a little bit to what is actually located at the North Pole, as we know it, there's apparently a lot of natural resources available there. What is there? What do we need to know about that?
Well, at the terrestrial North Pole, which I think, you know, that is pretty much the primary pole. And when people think North Pole, they're probably thinking about the terrestrial North Pole. Quite frankly, at the terrestrial North Pole, there is nothing except a very sad little Russian flag in the seabed 2.5 miles below the sea ice, because the Russians did a drive-by with their submarine, popped a little flag out at the terrestrial North Pole, so it's sitting there, and they can be, like, really proud of themselves, whatever. But the fact of the matter is, despite all this talk about all the untapped natural gas and oil deposits, they are not right at the North Pole. They're elsewhere in the Arctic Circle, but the Arctic Circle itself is actually pretty rich. It's got about 20%, we think, of the undiscovered and recoverable natural gas and oil deposits.
And who gets to claim and harvest all that stuff?
Well,
speaking of controversy and complicated questions.
Yeah, well, let me answer it in 15 seconds. We're going to do pretty much a multinational Thunderdome. Yeah, like 20 countries enter, one country leaves. No, I'm totally kidding. We don't know. I mean, there's a lot of argument about it, and as the sea ice continues to shrink and melt and previously unusable shipping lanes open up, there's a huge amount of who owns what and who gets to go where controversy going on all over the Arctic Circle and around the North Pole.
And there's also been a lot of news, obviously, related to climate change from the past several years. The Western Antarctic ice sheet collapsed, ice melting all over the globe. How's the North Pole doing?
The sea ice is shrinking. It's not looking good. Every year there is less and less. I think the record low for Arctic sea ice was very recently. I don't want to say the wrong year and have listeners be angry with me, but it's not looking good for the sea ice. And that's a big concern for a lot of different reasons. And in fact, NASA this August launched a new program called ARISE. And the whole idea is specifically looking at cloud cover, because they think the clouds are actually accelerating sea ice melt around the North Pole and in the Arctic Circle. Now, not just any clouds. They figured out that low-level clouds are helpful because they reflect sunlight. But it's those high-level clouds high up in the atmosphere that reflect less sunlight, allow more sunlight in, and also trap more hot air near the surface and melt sea ice faster. So they're studying that and trying to figure out how clouds are actually impacting all the changes going on up there.
Wow, so much to talk about with all five of the North Poles. Gemma, thank you so much for joining us today.
Always a pleasure. Thanks, guys.
We've been speaking with Gemma Tarlak, Senior Associate Editor at Discover Magazine, based in Waukesha.
Gemma will be back with us on Monday, December 29th, for a look back at the year in science. I'm Rob Ferret.
And I'm Veronica Rickert. News is next here on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio.